We're turning tonight to the 35th chapter of the book of Isaiah. And I want to read the 10 verses of this chapter. It's a great chapter, the promise that God gives to his people. Verse 1, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, which each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Amen. And the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. I want to focus attention tonight upon the opening words of verse 7. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. And the parched ground shall become a pool. If you have a margin in your authorized version of the English Bible, you'll discover that the word parched can also be translated as glowing sand or the burning sand. Young, in his literal translation of this chapter, renders the word parched as mirage, and the mirage shall become a pool. The mirage is associated with the desert. It is an illusory phantom, a bewitchment, holding forth a promise of abundant water, only to be discovered as a deceitful lake. In essence, it is a hot, sandy desert, the burning sand, as the margin puts it. The natural illusion of the mirage has a parallel in the spiritual realm of life. The mirage speaks of an illusion, something that appears real, something that appears to be full of promise, but it is unreal. It lacks substance. How apt this term is to describe this present world. This present world is a mirage. It is an illusion. The world allures people with its seeming promise of satisfying pools, only to feed the soul with sand and to leave the heart disappointed. The world abounds in the mirage. It promises joy, but it imparts sorrow. It promises peace, but it imparts fear. It promises life, but it imparts death. Throughout the world, the common cry of disillusionment is heard. Why? Because the world is, as the Bible says, a mirage. It is only an illusion. King Solomon, in the book of Ecclesiastes, in the opening chapter, verse 8, says that the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. In other words, what pertains to this world cannot satisfy the soul of man. Solomon went on that great quest. The book of Ecclesiastes contains the result of that quest. He sought for the meaning of life, the purpose of life in this world, in nature and art and music and possessions and pleasures. But the things that are natural, the things that belong to this world and to this life, can never satisfy the soul. He discovered that the mirage was empty. And therefore he cries in that book, "Vanity of vanity, all is vanity. It is vexation of spirit. It leaves the soul empty. This world is a mirage." And yet into the mirage of this world, God steps with this wonderful promise. The parched ground, the burning sand, the mirage, the illusion, shall become a pool. He steps into the mirage with the promise of satisfaction. The illusion will be replaced with the substantial. The disappointments that this world imparts, he will replace with satisfaction. The mirage shall become a pool. What a wonderful promise. And it is a promise that opens up an interesting and wonderful, beneficial avenue of study. And they're fine for us if we were to ask the question tonight, what are these pools that God promises in place of the mirage of the world? What are they? Well, Isaiah the prophet makes reference to them throughout his book. If you turn back to chapter 12 of Isaiah, the 12th chapter and the verse number 3, he refers there to the wells of salvation. If you read from verse 1, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." The mirage shall become a pool. And that pool of water is drawn from the wells of salvation. The prophet writes of the wells of salvation. Salvation is the first pull that shatters the disillusionment of the mirage of this world. Our great need is salvation. That's the united testimony all the way through the revealed scriptures of truth. We need to be saved. We need salvation. That very word, salvation, is conveyed to us in the name that was given to God incarnate. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." The wells of salvation, that word salvation, reminds us of our condition, our fallen estate, our fallen nature, that we stand in need of salvation. We need to be saved. But what is this salvation? It addresses our great need. We are separated from God on account of our sin, and our sins have provoked his just anger, his righteous indignation. Did you notice in verse 1 of chapter 12, the prophet speaks of God's anger? Thou wast angry with me. And that anger of God is the natural reaction of a holy God to sin. It is the reaction of God's holy nature to sin. He cannot be anything else. He cannot be anything other than angry with sin, because sin is the opposite of his nature. It is contrary to what he is. And the prophet identifies that man in his fallen condition as a transgressor of God's law has provoked the anger of God. That's the condition of all men. The wrath of God abides upon us by nature. But consider what he says here. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away. He speaks about the turning away of God's anger, the removal of God's anger, and the restoration of God's favor. That's what salvation is. Salvation is the pacifying, the appeasement of God's anger, and the restoration of God's favor towards those who have sinned against him. That's what salvation is. It changes. It addresses our need, and it changes our condition. Where previously we were the objects of God's righteous anger, but now we become the objects of his favor. That's what salvation is. But how is this change brought about? Do we look to ourselves? Do we look within in order to turn away God's anger? No. Follow on what the prophet says in verse 2. He says, behold, in other words, look at this. Focus on this. Pay attention to this. Consider this. Behold, God is my salvation. God is my salvation. He is the origin of my salvation. He is the author of my salvation. He is the cause of my salvation. He is the one who has brought about this change, whereby his anger towards me is turned away and his favor is restored. The Lord is the cause. The Lord has provided this salvation. It is a salvation that comes to me because of what the Lord has done. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he gave his Son in order that he would offer an atonement for sin that would pacify the righteous indignation of God and restore his favor to lost sinners. This salvation is found in God alone. He's the origin, he's the cause, he's the author, he's the one who has provided it. And you'll see here in this second verse that it is received by faith alone. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust. I will trust. I will believe. Intimating that this salvation, of which God is the author, is received by faith, simply believing The Philippian jailer said to the apostle Paul, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul's response was clear, straightforward. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." This is the salvation. It is found in God Himself. He also is become my salvation. He is the water. He is the living water. Do you remember what the Lord said to the woman at the well, the woman of Samaria, in John chapter 4? He said to that lady, "If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." The Lord was referring to himself. He is the gift of God. He is this water that brings to us the salvation, that removes his wrath and restores his favour. And all who receive this salvation by faith will experience its joy. Verse 3, "Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." The joy of salvation. It is the joy of sins forgiven, to know that all my sin has been blotted out, that I am forgiven, to know it is well with my soul, to know that I am no longer the object of his wrath, but the object of his favour, to know that I am reconciled to my God. My God is reconciled. His pardoning voice I hear. I can no longer fear. He owns me as his child. This is no mirage. This is real. This is real. And when the soul enters in to the blessing and the experience of God's salvation and draws water from the wells of salvation, that soul will experience a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. The mirage shall become a pool, and that pool is the well of salvation. But turn over to chapter 48 of the prophecy of Isaiah. Chapter 48 and the verse number 18. And here we read these words. "Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea." Thy peace as a river. The mirage shall become a pool. Peace is something that the world craves for, but it does not possess. It certainly doesn't know it. But here is a pool that the Lord gives in the place of the mirage. The world's mirage of peace attempts to shut two doors. It attempts to shut the door of the past and the door of the future. And it shuts the door of the past by seeking to stifle memory. Conscience is awakened because of things that have been done and committed in the past. And the only answer that the world has is to try and stifle the memory. It seeks to close the door of the future by attempting to numb anticipation. But in either case, it does not avail. It does not give true peace to the soul. It is but a mirage, an illusion. But when the Lord gives peace, He doesn't close those doors. He throws them wide open. The door of memory. He opens with the blessed sense of forgiveness for the sins that have been committed in the past. That's the Lord's remedy for the past and for an accusing conscience, tormenting conscience. It is forgiveness for what has been done in the past. Thy sins be forgiven thee, he says. He doesn't close the door of the future with all of its dread and fear, the fear of tomorrow, the fear of the unknown. No, he throws the door open and he converts that fear of the future into a glowing hope. He gives peace. And all who drink from this river of God's peace are able to look back upon the past and say, goodness and mercy have followed me throughout the days of my life. They're able to look forward into the future with a glowing confidence and say, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, what peace the Lord gives. The world knows nothing about it. It's a peace that passes all understanding. The mirage, the parched ground, the burning sand that leaves the soul empty without peace. The Lord says, the mirage shall become a pool. But turn over to chapter 33. Chapter 33 of Isaiah and verse number 20. There you will find these words. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. But there the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby. The mirage shall become a pool. But in the context of this chapter, the city of Jerusalem was under threat from the Assyrian army. And the army of the Assyrians had surrounded the city, besieged the city, threatened to destroy the city. And therefore the city is surrounded by fear and terror. And in that situation, Jerusalem was made to see the disadvantage that it was at. It had no river running by it. It lacked that natural fortification that many great cities have. It lacked the advantage of a water course that would open up the way of trade and the path of supplies, and also the provision of water, especially during a time of siege. This was something that the enemy mocked and made fun of. But into this setting, into this circumstance, the Lord gives this promise. But there, Jerusalem, that city that lacks the natural water course, the natural flowing river round about it, but there the glorious Lord will be on to us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby. What was this promise? This was the promise of the river, the pool of all sufficient provision, protection and preservation. And it would come from God himself. The Lord presents himself as a place of broad rivers and streams. In other words, he's saying to his people in the city of Jerusalem, he's saying to King Hezekiah, he's saying to the prophet Isaiah, he's saying to the people within the city besieged by their enemy, he is saying, I will be thy supply. I will be thy provision. That water course, that natural water course that brings the ships laden with provision. The Lord is saying, I will be your provision. That river that provides protection and fortification. The Lord says, I will be thy protection and fortification. Far greater, far more glorious than a natural river, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby. The Lord says, when I am the protection of my people, no enemy will gain access to the city. When we have God, we have all we need and all that we can desire. The river of God is God himself. The mirage shall become a pool. Horatius Bonner wrote these words, eternal water brooks fed by no earthly rain, nor sublunary dew, in dales or mountain nooks, whose springs are not the inconstant clouds, nor the deep's perilous blue, nor the cold ice rocks of the cliff, nor the chill moorland where the flowers are few. Rivers of joy and life, far from our storm and strife, my spirit thirsts for you. Across no desert waste wanders your happy flood, o'er no volcanic fire ye take your trembling road, but through the meadows of the blessed, the home of love and God, where health and peace and rest have their secure abode, beneath no human fane raiseth your crystal stream, upon no earthly palaces flasheth your golden gleam, but from the heavenly throne of God and of the Lamb, the shrine and palace bright of him the great I am. Celestial water brooks, bright with unearthly blue, fresh with the living flood of heaven, each day in passing through this parched wilderness of time, my spirit thirsts for you. The parched ground, the burning sand, the mirage shall become a pool. The illusion will be replaced with the substantial. The river, the water, the pool is God himself, for it is only the Lord who can satisfy the soul. May we experience the fulfillment of this promise. May we know its sweet enjoyment, and may we know what it is to drink from the wells of salvation, the river of peace, and from that broad river of provision and preservation and protection which is found in the Lord himself. The mirage shall become a pool. May the Lord bless his word for his name's sake. Amen.